Blog Talk Radio.
Did y'all hear her scream at me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, everybody heard you screaming at me.
Okay. I am having some serious technical difficulties tonight. I cannot get either one of the computers up. Anyway, well, welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight we'll be talking about New Year's resolutions. Mine is to get something done with this computer technical stuff. Anyway, well, without further ado, here's our host, Wild Bill.
Well, you didn't even read what you were supposed to read.
If I could see it. I am online and not online. Not yet. I have hopes.
You have hopes?
High hopes.
Well, you missed out. I kind of had a little fun with Blog Talk Mom. As many people know, today is her birthday. So that's the reason for the couple of little songs on there. I tried to find some people going way, way back in time singing happy birthday, and I guess as far as I could find that they actually recorded something was Elvis Presley. So anyway, happy birthday, Mom. Hope you have a blessed and happy day, and hope you enjoyed the little jingles there and my little attempt at humor. And everybody forgives Tyler for screaming at me. She didn't realize that I had already turned on her microphone when she was screaming from upstairs to downstairs for me to turn on her microphone. For those that wonder how we do this high-tech operation, we have a vent that we share that goes from upstairs to downstairs as the return. And so when she wants to share something with me, that we did have a couple of cans with a string, but the animals kept playing with the string, and so it never did work properly. So the vent seems to work the best for us right now. But as far as the show for this week, last week we talked about New Year's resolutions and, about what they were and what we had the year before and really looking and taking stock. But this week I was thinking about, a lot of people really do want to make some serious changes in their life. And Blog Talk Mom has tried to share some things with me personally in the past about what it takes to change just a thought in our minds, the way we process this thinking. And, that just that right there lets me know how hard it is for us to really look at changing something in our life. It's one thing to say, I want to change. It's another thing to say, I need to change. It's another thing to say, I'm going to change. And then we go to a totally another concept of actually changing something in our life. And I don't know about you, most of the time the things I want changed in my life have to do with other people. No, I'm playing. But, seriously, a lot of times we're like, man, if that person would just change the way they do things, my life would be just hunky-dory. But in truth, and hey, if you throw a rock and it hits a dog, the one that hollers is the one that's guilty. So I heard that somewhere. Anyway, But seriously, we go about life that way, and as I've talked with Joy many times in the past, and I don't know if she's going to be with us tonight or not, but we do go about life looking for other people to make us happy or to make us feel fulfilled or to make us be content, and one of the things going through the process of life is that we have to learn that it's our job to make ourselves happy. It's our job when we're down on the ground to get up off the ground. It's our job when we're dirty to take a bath. That's just the way it works. And it doesn't matter if you took a bath this morning and put on the most fantastic deodorant in the world and the very best cologne that there is. If you didn't take a bath again or reapply those things, in about 3 days you're going to stink. So it lets me know that there has to be some consistency in this process. It ain't something you can wake up one bright, shiny day and say, wow, I'm going to do this today. And then that's going to just be totally the life change. And you wake up tomorrow and you're like, oh, it's a new day, da-da-da-da-da, And if I was like Starla, I could do the la-la song, but I can't do it. Do the la-la song, Starla. Be a Smurf.
Oh, you're a better Smurf than me.
Oh, you calling me Papa Smurf?
I hope the shoe fits.
Oh, man. I think Blog Talk Mom is actually on the air, and I actually threatened that if a lot of people didn't call in and have comments tonight, that and everybody's like, oh, man, please don't tell me he's going to say something about fortune again. And I'm not really trying to preach or talk the concepts of fortune, but what I'm learning from these people is that there are real, true life concepts that work in this business that can be applied to your spiritual life, your physical life, your emotional life, just about every aspect of your life you can be. So I said on here that if enough people didn't call in, I'm warning you, I will play something from one of the top people in our business that's sharing some thought processes about how this business works that I think will be applied. But I think Blog Talk Mom is on here, and so happy birthday, Mom!
Happy birthday!
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. I've been laughing ever since y'all started. You're really cute. I guess you know that. Delightful is the word.
That's not the Brady Bunch here for sure.
Well, that's real life, really being real. I've really found out that that's something rather than just a performance. Being real is a lot more interesting. And doorbells, and I think Reverend Kay was going to call in tonight, too. But about fortune, I would like to mention that I guess through the little over a year or so, off and on, I bought products through Fortune. And I've never used anything from them that wasn't better than top of the line. It's just Excellent. Every thing you say, I guess, just comes under the umbrella of fortune that you represent is just superb. And
I appreciate you saying that, because one of the things that's really unique about fortune is that it's like going into Walmart. We don't really care if you like it or not, but the stuff you like, we want you to come back and get it from us. And if you're looking for a way to leverage your time, leverage your income, and, you know, leverage your money, then you can take advantage of what the Power Franchise has to offer and put that to work for you. But one of the greatest things I like about this, and I have to say I stole this from someone, and this is not the exact wording, but fortune is a life-changing experience with a compensation plan. This is not just about people that try to say you things and they talk about God every now and then or something like that. These are people that's been through some real life circumstance. When you talk about having cancer and, you know, the doctors come in and say, you know, do you want to know how long you got to live? And the man is saying, no, I don't want to know. And the wife is saying, yes. And you find out you got less than 6 months to live. That's real life, folks. That's not one of those things that you can say, wow, you know, well, I know that's been several years ago for him and everything. So, man, he's lucky. Man, he's blessed. And, you know, some of those things may seem true, but to get to be where he is because of some of the things he's been through. And that's what I love about, you know, you calling in and sharing things with us on the show is because you've been through some real-life circumstances. You've been through some things. And like you have shared before about the, you know, I don't remember how many times. What was it you were trying to share with me about a thought that it actually takes to get a thought in your mind and to process it or something like that? I know I'm ripping this all apart, but I'm hoping you can tell what I'm talking about.
Before you are aware of a thought, you've already had close to 40 thoughts. And so the thought that you're having is the result of all of these other thoughts. And then if people, you know, you've heard people say, and you probably said it, and I have too, well, why did I say that? I mean, did I say that? Where did that come from? You know, and it really
I didn't say that.
Yeah, that's the part. Not me. I didn't say that. And sometimes that's the reason people misunderstand what another person says, because they're not really saying, you know, there's a lot to what we say besides the words. There's body language. There's content of when we said it, how we said it, with what the emphasis that we put on it. I know one person said one time that you could take the sentence and you could say, George is a great guy. Or you could say, George is a great guy. Or George, yeah, is a great guy. You know, well, however you put the words together and emphasize it, that is how the listener is going to hear it. And I didn't mean to go, I mean, that's a real interesting subject to me, but that's
what I was wanting you to get into, because if it takes that much to actually understand how our thought process works, then how should we think that it's going to be that much more simple to take a thought and put it into action in our lives? You know, if there's already been 40 thoughts that's went through your mind before it's actually come to where you actually understand there's a thought that's there, you know, before it comes to fruition, you're like, oh, man, I guess I had an idea. Well, no, you've had an idea for a while, bud. It just now clicked in your little head, which means probably with me, Starless saying it probably takes 100 thoughts in Bill's mind before it actually comes up to a thought that he can present to everybody, which is probably closer to the truth. But, I mean, you know, seriously, I mean, has there been any studies on that or anything about how much it takes to actually put those? I know there's been all kinds of studies about, you know, taking a practice or a habit and changing it. But, you know, what about taking thoughts and putting them in action? Is there any studies on that, or do you have any thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Well, you know, one thing that's very familiar to all of us is when we study in school or if we study the Word of God, especially the Word of God, you can read a scripture and share a scripture, and then you read it a week later or even, you know, maybe the next day or the same day, and you think, well, that I'm getting something out of that I never did get before. You know, there's something there that
share this quite often.
Pardon?
Oh, I'm sorry, I had a computer spoke at me here out of the blue.
Also,
it was a not meant to be interruption.
Okay, well, what I was saying, though, is that it depends a lot of times on when we're listening to somebody, it depends on our frame of mind, on our past references. And so especially in training children, which
I wish I had had some of these skills when I was a lot younger, because we in counseling, even lately, we've been talking about how people, how what they say to children when they're trying to correct them. And some people, I went to a house the other day, and this little boy came up and he had a paper roll-like thing. He hit me, almost broke my glasses, knocked my glasses off, and his grandmother, you could tell she thought that was the cutest thing that ever was. I mean, she did tell him to stop, but not because it was wrong or not with any explanation. And in just a few minutes, he was pulling open drawers and knocking stuff in the floor. And so her reasoning on that was that her house was childproof. You know, do whatever you want to do. Then, you know, that the child was more important. But then let's look at it a whole different way. Is it important? Is the child important enough that we should have input and correct them? Or then some people would say, well, you little devil, you get in there and sit down before I break your neck. You know, words have tremendous and lasting effect on just everything. And today, I was just running into Facebook. I was invited out to eat, and I didn't think I could get back in time for the program. So I got on Facebook, and it was just one after another, the church people were saying, we love you, we appreciate you. And I got, I didn't even realize it, but I just went, yeah. You know, I just got real happy. And those were just because, and I didn't hear the words, but those words blessed me. And words are extremely powerful. Thoughts are extremely powerful. In propaganda, people that, you know, get words out there and they can poison your mind towards someone. You see that in a
lot. You mean like the Tea Party?
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. But go ahead with what you were going to say. I'm real interested in what you were going
to
say.
No, I just wanted to get more of that out there because I think there's several different avenues to go with this and everything. And then the other thing about thoughts is how communication is such an important issue to make a point on where you are with your thoughts to communicate with the other people. Starla and I was talking the other day about one of our children, how that because of things of the relationships with marriage and things that, and us both being married before, how one of our children didn't have a lot of structure in their life, you know, with, you know, the way they were brought up in their teenage years, and how deep down we both realized that child had really missed something, and they know that they missed something, but what you get is something totally rebellious and totally disrespectful and totally, you know, nonconforming to anything that seems to be the structure of the household. But really what you're looking for is someone to put their foot on their neck, so to speak, and say, enough's enough. You know, because that meant there's, if you don't, it's not just as important to be careful what you say mentally to be the things like Starla was sharing, you know, last week, you know, I can't do it. I mess it up every time. And I think Starla's done this period. What's the three things there, Starla?
You are kind, you are smart.
You is kind.
You is smart, and you is important.
That's right. It's not just important. It's important to put those words of season to a child's mind to realize that they have value in who they are. But, like, you know, we grew up, Dad always kept preaching to me and Joy that, you know, you set your value, you set your worth. And we locked in on the stupidity part of it, of how much we got paid per hour. But I think there was a bigger message in what he was trying to teach us about not letting other people, because of what you get paid, establish your self-worth. And I totally missed it, which also I'm not totally missing. I think Joy Bells has her hand up there. Is that who that is?
Funny. I am fired up.
Are you fired
up? I have comments. I do. I have comments on everything that's happened. Y'all don't even have time for all my comments.
Oh, Lord,
where's
the mute button?
I is smart. I is important. First off the bat, happy, happy birthday to Josie, the best mom of them all.
Woohoo! How'd you like the song?
That was so cute. You're a rebel from, well, you get the picture. thought that was so funny. Did you hear? I wonder. You got to play it later for Mama because I know sometimes it's hard through the phone. Did you catch the words of that first song, Mom?
No, I couldn't. I got the idea it was birthday, and I was happy, happy.
He wants you to know, in trying so hard to express how much he loves you, he came down to, I love you as much as you love me. That's touching, because if you can say that to a parent, you're saying something, because parent love is big love.
Certainly
That's
is.
Right.
I had somebody call me at 2 minutes after 12 to wish me happy birthday. Cause
That's
wanted
right.
To be
she got the jump on all the rest of us. And another thing, oh, boy, you're on a subject that I love, and You pulled poor Starla in saying that she would say you need 100, but what you didn't hear Mama say is 40,000, not 40. Am I right, Mama? 40,000
no,
subconscious thoughts, unconscious thoughts before you. That's what I've been taught. And the thing is to just become really aware. That's why meditation is so important. People think that you need to have some kind of real huge experience with meditation, but if you just get quiet and pay attention to what you're thinking, that awareness will help you to realize that you've got some beliefs underneath there that you need to look at, that you don't really believe something, you don't realize, you don't logically believe some things that your heart does believe and they're affecting your life. And you are not going to believe this, Wild Bill. I didn't realize this is what the I didn't realize this is what the show was on until like 10 minutes before the show when I was ready to sign on, and I couldn't believe it because I listened to a Blog Talk show before this. And the guy said that he said a lot of very interesting things and a lot of things that you said, but that...
Well, mine weren't as interesting. That's what you're trying to say.
No, yours were wonderful, and I think the subject is wonderful. But he said that one of the main keys to actually have lasting change is to truly be done. He said instead of saying my name is Joy, saying I'm Joy, for a while say I'm done. People look at you like you're crazy and say, I'm done overeating, or whatever it is that you're, to really get fed up. You said, like, you know, not just, oh, I want it to be different, or I can't remember exactly how you said it, but not just saying, oh, yeah, I want there to be change, but to really be done is a huge key to there, to being able then to take that next step and make that lasting change. I've forgotten all
the
millions of other things.
That's what I usually say after I sit down and eat dinner and eat a whole tub of ice cream. I say, I'm done.
No. You've got to say it all the time before that so you'll be aware. This is completely off subject, but the other thing I wanted to say was Starla didn't really yell. She just had to yell through the vent, and I am well in touch with the emotion of everything falling apart exactly as the show starts and the panic that ensues. So I think y'all did a good job pulling yourself, and it was entertaining to at least me and Blog Talk Mom. So.
She don't have a clue that her mic is on when she's screaming. Yeah, that's so funny. Everybody's heard it.
Mama, I'm the one that has to turn the mic on. So
Right. And when you can't see it, that's hard to do.
Yes.
Don't worry. You is smart. You is kind. You is important. I'm done.
Now.
You can mute me now.
I felt like I was being slammed. Turn on my microphone there, old man.
I didn't hear any anger. It was the panic that I'm in touch with. I've been there.
Thank you.
I was just playing. Well, Joy, we did talk about a part of this that we've talked about you and I several times on about looking at other people to fix our situations.
I love the way you worded that. There's no power in that whatsoever. I love the way you said if somebody else would change in my life would just be fine. And you can spend all your time thinking about that, and you've just wasted some time because that's not going to do any good. However, when you start changing, the people around you do change. It does change your situation, but you can't start there.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with relationships with people, not just trying to lose weight. Or, you know, it'd be really to say, like, I would lose weight if my husband would quit bringing me home sweets. He knows that I'm a sweetaholic. You know, I mean, you just, like, nobody said you had to eat it. You could say, don't bring it home.
I think he is aiming
anymore.
That at you, Starla.
I do,
throw
too.
That in the trash.
Hey.
All the dogs are yapping on that one. You threw that rock and it hit everybody.
But, I mean, we can apply to things not just as to how we feel, but to things like trying to change. I mean, we can keep
working. Exactly. Like I would have
playing.
A degree if I would have been supported, if Afshin would have supported me or something, then I would have a degree. What a loser mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if he'd
have
done my homework
for
me, I would have passed. You know, I mean, how crazy is that?
Well, there's truth in that.
It's all sort of thought my fortune business and not bringing in millions of dollars. I mean, like, duh, you know.
Yeah, instead of focusing on the 100 things you can do, you focus on the one thing she could have done and didn't do. We got your back, Starla. It's women power in here.
Now, if she's got no control of the computer, so I better watch it. I'll mute every one of you.
You'll let us know exactly what you think. I think
that's
you're
right.
On to such a powerful subject. I was so excited when I saw what it was, and then me and even more excited when I heard what all you said and Blog Talk Mom. Good, good stuff.
Well, I do want to say one thing here because it's real easy because there is, and I'm not trying to throw stones here, but there is some things when you get to talking about, you know, getting still and sitting in place and meditating that some people automatically jump to thinking, oh, she's talking about satanic things there. We better be careful. And that reminds me, and I don't know anything about meditation, so I'll be honest to say I don't. I do understand that for everything that's real, Satan has a counterfeit. And so, you know, I hear people say things about, I think this kind of music is of the devil. And yet, you know, 10 years later, that's the type of music we're playing in the churches. You know, and it has to do with that same thing we talked about before, is to where you are and your interpretation of it and where you're living right then and everything. You know, the younger people think the old people just old and lost it, you know, because they're still locked in the old ways. And the older people think the young people are compromising and letting the whole church fall apart. And so it's one of those things that it takes, as Dad used to say with the Democrats and the Republicans, it takes both parties to make this thing work. So, you know, it is what it is. And when I said that about the Tea Party earlier, I wasn't meaning that to really be a slam, but it does. I got really tickled reading something earlier today that was totally not true. And I said many times in politics, I know this is not a political show tonight, I don't have a problem with people having disagreements on things. I don't have a problem with people having opinions as to how they think things apply. But when they say that someone said something that they didn't say, and they start spreading out as fact, and then they start mounting a defense to go against something that this person was supposed to say that they didn't say, I got a problem. I'm like, you know, wow. Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon, getting ready to slaughter someone for something they didn't even say. So I was like, okay, you know, your credibility with me is off the board. So, all right, I'm
and
off.
And then it just muddies the water from any kind of true discourse. And just for the record, Obama's good. Sorry.
Well, like I say, I wasn't really trying to make this a political thing. But the other side of that thing is we do the same thing with churches. We do the same thing with businesses, and one of the things I was threatening to play if people didn't interject in this was talking about how that we can let somebody come into a church, they go to an altar, they pray, they cry all over the place, they smear snot all over the place, and I mean, you know, they really got serious. They really were letting all their emotion out. They feel ever so much better, and then, you know, you see them the next day like, well, you know, I've been thinking about this church thing, and you know, some of that stuff that's going on in that church, it really doesn't apply to me, and it really doesn't work, and I feel sorry for all those weak-minded people and all those things. And yet you don't, and you'll listen to that person for some reason, like they have some sort of humongous credibility, because that's the direction, that's where you want to go. You want, misery loves company. This is so true. That wasn't just a saying someone made up. People don't want people to do better than what they are. In today's world, I find that people don't even want their children to do better than what they're doing. What is going on with that jealousy thing of not wanting their kids to have a better life than what they have? Now, I'm not saying this about all parents, but I see this a lot, especially in some of the smaller areas, you know, where it's more of a country atmosphere and things like that. It blows my mind to see that mentality going on here. You know, I'm not going to do this here, even though it's not going to cost me any more money, because I don't want to help you do better than me. You know, it's kind of like that thing like, am I my brother's keeper? You know, we don't ever talk about the only place in the Bible that said that was from the guy who just killed his brother. You know, it's not like a love thing. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, he's not heavy, he's my brother, because I just killed him. You know, I mean, seriously, if we stop and look at where everything's going in this world and who we're listening to, if you want to find out if church works, then go to someone in there that's sitting over, that's got a few gray hairs, that's been sitting on the pew for a while, that's been through the ups and downs of life and has stayed faithful and true to the things of God. who's looked and you see change in their life, and you see that they weren't perfect when they started, and they're still not perfect now, but they're still striving for a mark that you can't see, but they see. Where you don't have vision, they have vision. That's the people that you listen to. When I have people tell me, like, yeah, I tried that fortune thing. I signed up, paid my $100. I had my own business. It was, you know, licensed, willable, trustable, anything I wanted to do with it. For $100, they had me tied up with trillion-dollar industries here that, you know, I could use their products and be tied into an income stream. It has nothing to do with something that Fortune manufactures or makes. It just don't work. I'm sorry to tell you this. It don't work. Well, what'd you do? Well, I signed up and I listened to a phone call for 3 days and I called my uncle and he told me, he says, you're weak-minded, you're feeble to even believe something like that. You need to get out of it. And you come to find out your uncle's an alcoholic, never kept a job more than 2 or 3 years in his life if he kept them out long, and he's a loser. But you're going to listen to him and he's going to talk you out of something that's got the potential to give you something you've never had before. And that concept of how people will let other people rob them of things that can be good in their life, it just blows my mind. Brother Philip Francis talked about that his dad, when he went off to the war, that everybody told him, don't you get that foxhole religion when you're over there. And that stuck in that man's mind so much that he never turned any of his life toward anything of God, because he remembered those words where some stupid person told him, don't get foxhole religion. I'm like, man, if you ever needed religion, it was during World War II in a foxhole when you were storming these beaches and things where people were dying by the hundreds right there in front of you. What idiot makes a statement like that? And then why do we listen to them? It blows the mind, a thought concept, and to know that there's 40 or 40,000 or even 6 thoughts that take place before it becomes a thought that locks into your brain, you know, lets me know that there's a process there that is. It's kind of like the thing with television where they say that they can hide little pictures in between the pictures and our mind can comprehend that even though you cannot. It lets you know that there's things at work here that you need to have your mind under control. You need to be aware of what you're putting into your brain. You need to be aware of who the people are that are around you. Now, I made a comment to my son who just recently had a birthday. Happy birthday, James. The last of December. But I made a comment to him one time. I said, don't date people you don't want to be married to. And that was funny. That's one of the few things I've ever said to him that stuck in his mind. But the reason being is because you don't have any control of what you think love is and how you can fall in love with somebody. So when you're looking at someone where there's that not emotional there of all the things that go along with hormones and everything else that gets involved in the process of falling in love, when that's not there and you're rational, that's a time to look and say, is that someone I want to spend the rest of my life with? And I'll tell you a funny story here. This friend of my dad's in Arkansas had a wife that was cross-eyed, and I remember, I don't know how old I was, but I asked my mom, I says, why did he marry a cross-eyed woman? And she said, well, he fell in love with her. And I said, well, I ain't ever going to fall in love with no cross-eyed woman. And I can truly say Starla's not cross-eyed. She's just, her eyes are kind of narrow. So, no, I'm playing. But seriously, to make the point.
She's looking at you cross-eyed right now, but you can't see her. Well, on the subject, I want to say something on the subject. Well, for one thing, I want to talk about what you said earlier about meditation. But you were talking about getting control of your mind. And, like, if you imagine the Titanic-type thing with the iceberg, the 40,000 thoughts is what's under the water, and then whatever pops up to the top is your clue as to what's under there. So meditation is a way of scanning to really see, because we get so busy and we're so used to having all those thoughts that we're not really aware. But also, it's in the Bible, and also I've heard, Mama can tell you maybe if it was C.S. Lewis, I can't remember who it was, but somebody wonderful said that prayer is talking to God and meditation is listening. It's about getting
good.
Quiet so you can hear that.
I love your
Titanic
analogy.
So... I like it. At first I thought you said satanic, and that's why there's a little pause there. I have a satanic analogy, meaning. But, you know, we just are so busy and we've got so much going on that we drown out that still small voice. So if you're in a prayerful mentality, maybe you've got a scripture that you're thinking about or something like that, but then it's about just being quiet and not judging yourself, but just seeing what comes up, just so you've got information about what's under there. We don't really know. It's our unconscious and our subconscious. I used to think that, like, oh, I'm not pushing things down into my subconscious. Well, moron, it's your subconscious. You don't know. You don't know what's going on under there. I thought somehow it was something you were aware you were pushing down. But no, it's under there, and if you don't take the time to be quiet and pay attention, then you just don't even know it's there. Right, Joseph.
Well, I can tell you from a man's point of view that we're totally lost in conversations like this. And it's more women have more of what it takes to actually analyze these things and to really put it through a thought process to even think about than men do. We can understand having a goal, and we can understand locking to a goal, and we can also understand that, you know, there's going to be things to come against us. You know, in the Westerns, it was the Indians and the floods and the lack of rain and, you know, the storms and the Indians again. You know, in the West, you know, we knew to, you know, those things we were ready for and we could handle. But when you start talking about things like this with thoughts, and I'm being honest here, and I thought if we had other men, maybe they can say that they look at this different. But most men I talk to don't really stop and think about the rationale of a thought process. They just lock in on a goal and, you know, they go after it. And that's pretty much how we work. We're on
the
women,
other
and
hand,
you can see the
like
same thing in church.
A lot of what you're saying about fortune, I mean, and we've already talked, so you know how I feel about fortune as actually something that I want to be a part of. But on the other hand, that process that you're doing, it seems to be kind of working that way for you. It's bringing things up to the surface. It's making you more aware of where you've, well, for instance, just the huge breakthroughs we've both had about what Daddy meant about setting our own value.
Yeah.
And partially you think to yourself, why wasn't he?
Examples of other people, it's as they blaze their path. You know, they're at a different place than you are, and they're sharing back at us. You know, like, come on up. It's like someone that's already in the water and swimming, and you're sitting there thinking, man, that water looks cold. And they're saying, come on in. The water's fine. And then you jump in like, they lied. It was cold.
But I think you are very thoughtful about how things happen and where things are going and what part you play in it and what all's going on. I think that
we're now looking back, but it would have been so cool to have been able to have been less the hunter and locking into one task and not being wanting to be sidetracked by anything else. And also, I've always had a thing in my mentality of wanting to be a pleaser. But on the other side of that, I've always been a dreamer, and so I locked in on the person that said what I wanted to hear the most. You know, and I think you can relate to what I'm saying. Now, this person said, you need to go to college for 12 years and you need to be a lawyer. And I'm like, college, 12 years, lawyer, And this person's like, hey, maybe you need to go get away from here and join the Army and be your own man and everything and get to go out there and go camping. And that was a recruiter talking, by the way. And, you know, go out and see the world. You know, like, hey, that sounds a little bit more like what I want to do. You know, and now I look back and say, man, I wish I'd have done that 12 years of college. So,
hindsight
is
2020.
I didn't think things through back then. Yeah, and that's true with most people. Well, you know, I was talking about James earlier, and, you know, he had people pushed him to let him know he was very smart. He was able to process schoolwork very well. He took honors classes at MTSU, did very well there, had a choice of several different, you know, jobs that most people would die to have. And, you know, he made a choice of one that was actually going to be possibly better for him long term. Not take it back. He took the one that was going to be better for him now, even though the other one had to do with medical field, might have been better for him long term. And then what he didn't envision happen, which none of us did, was the collapse in the economy, which affected everything, but it affected the choice he made there even more. And then after two or three years in that job, he realized, I'm not real happy doing a job where I got to sit in a cubicle for 8 to 10 hours a day. You know, I'm more an outside type person. There again, that goes along with this changing and growing. And that's one of the things I always try to tell my kids, don't get yourself locked into something. The college, the education, they can't ever take away from him. That's going to benefit him no matter what he does in life, so that's not bad. But to think that locks him into where he can't do anything different, that would make it bad. Am I making sense?
Right.
Right, right.
But I think it is all part of the process, and it all works together for our good. And it's interesting, too, because of you talking about when you were a kid and trying to decide what to do, Billy went the Army route and even in war. But he is doing so good. They both are. All three of your kids. You should be so, so, so proud of those kids. I really like them.
Well, hopefully they looked at some of the mistakes I made in my life and they decided to take a different path. That would be most encouraging.
That is a horrible segue, but I want to say that when also when I was thinking about the fact that it was Mama's birthday and when the subject was what it was, I thought another key to, well, for one thing, change is inevitable. That's the one thing that's definitely going to happen. But one of the keys, and I think Mama would agree to this, I was thinking about Mama because of it being her birthday, is to just keep on getting up and going. Stay focused. Get your eyes back on the right path. Turn yourself back to where you're even when you fall or whatever happens, whatever goes on in life. Don't give up is the key to truly making lasting change.
Yeah, the difference in falling and failing is if you just lay there and be miserable and or the one that gets up and says, I'm not going to stay here laying down, I'm going to get up and go again. You know,
exactly.
Everybody makes mistakes and everybody falls. Blog Talk Mom, you know, with her talking about the thing on the meditation, and I like how she tied it into some of the things about Scripture, but isn't that what it was talking about, where it talks about us getting in our closet and, you know, getting in a quiet place with us and God? Isn't that sort of the same thing as what she's saying, or am I misinterpreting that?
It isn't just sort of the same thing. It is the same thing. When Jesus said, when he used the analogy and object lessons and parables, when you enter a closet, he's not talking about, which would be okay if you want to get in your closet, but, I mean, he's talking about a place that is closed in, and then he didn't just say enter the closet. He said close the door. And I was speaking to Joy earlier. Last night, about 10 o'clock, I guess, I was putting on some laundry, and I had several things I was going to do, some book work I was going to do, and just instantly all the lights went off. For I don't know how many miles around here, all the way into the next town, there was no light, and so it also wasn't any heat. So I was, you know, I got all wrapped up, and and all of a sudden, my clock sounded like, I cannot tell you how loud that clock sounded. It was tick tock, you know, but I've never heard that clock before. Because of all of the other sounds that I just take for granted, just like the air purifier and just those kind of sounds that I don't even hear. They drowned it, they completely drowned that sound out, and that's the way it is with the voice of God and with that still small voice. We are so distracted and we have so many things going on in our mind, in our life. It's there, it's speaking, but we don't hear it. And so I just thought, well, Lord, in fact, it's real sort of cute because I do believe in the rapture. And all of a sudden I thought, you know, it's going to be just like that. It's going to be just one of these days in a twinkling of an eye. And I had a little bit of a bad attitude, not a bad one, but by the time I went to sleep, it was all prayed through. You know, I mean, I thought I could see the other person's side completely. But anyway. So back to that, what you were saying about meditating, it's one of the most awesome things when you get quiet, you shut everything out, and it takes a tremendous discipline for me. I don't know about you, but it's all I can do to enter that place. Now, I can pray on the run, I can put on tapes, I can do all of this, I can study, but when it takes that one thing where you actually meditate, Joy was saying, you begin to listen for the voice of God. You're waiting. You're not putting out a lot of stuff. You're just waiting, and something transpires. And The Hour That Changes the World by Dick Eastman was one of the greatest books I've ever read. It's very easy for anybody to get to, and he makes an hour of prayer into a 5-minute segment all the way around for the whole clock. And the second one, after you praise God, when you enter his presence, is to meditate, to get absolutely quiet. And it's so powerful. It you'll look at Scripture differently. You'll look at everything differently because you enter a realm of the Spirit that you cannot get there any other way. So So since we're created that way, since God created that way, naturally, satanic and things that are not built around Jesus Christ, they know it works. You know, so they do it, and for some odd reason, people will do it, but not do it. You know, I've even noticed that sometimes in our prayer meetings, we have so much music going on, which I love music, but that's still a distraction for this meditation thing. So I didn't want to say too much. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think one of the key differences between it being satanic and something of that nature and being something with God is that the focus. If your focus on being quiet is to focus on God and to hear his voice and to find what he has to say and all those things you've been praying for, then you're looking like, okay, am I amiss? You know, I'm just getting still before you, Lord. You know, this is the time I'm dedicating to you. You know, of course, we always do everything we do, it seems like, to help us. I don't know of anyone that's got their life so on track to where they're like, Lord, I'm here for you, whatever you want. You know, I'm your vessel, and I know I was created to praise you, and I praise you, Lord, and it's all about you, you, you. Somewhere along the way, it always comes about to me. Okay, Lord, I'm over here. I've gotten quiet. What you got for me? You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things that it's our nature to want to do those things for, you know, to get the answer. But I think God understands us, as he says, from our uprisings and our downfallings, and he knows the intent and the thought process of our heart, which we know the heart doesn't think. But I thought it's interesting the Bible talks about it that way. You know, he sees all these things as within us. And so he understands what we need more than what we want, but yet he wants to please us and give us the things that we want. And he lets us know we have not because we ask not. And so many people, you know, talk about having life and life more abundant. And a lot of people today are not even living anymore. We're going through the motion. We're going through the motions without emotion because life is beating us down. We got so much depression and despair and fear over things with our governments and the economy and everything is happening, to where it just sort of seems to have us like a deer in the headlights. We don't know which way to go. So as we
covered
the
thing
on meditation.
I got a bunch of things to say again.
Well, okay, say it. Interrupt me.
I blame
me
you.
It.
You just got all kinds of, everything you say is just loaded, isn't it, Josie?
It is.
He ought to have his own show. Okay, first off, and the funny thing about that, what you said about we don't really want to say I'm your vessel and all that. And I understand exactly what you're saying, and I resemble that remark. But the funny thing is that is the way to joy and fulfillment and all of that, is to ever get to that point where you understand that to be in God's perfect will is the point, is the way to joy and happiness. What did you say after that? Because I had a wonderful comment about that, too.
I
need to start taking notes.
See, your thought process overrode your mouth. See how that works?
Oh, I know what it is. I don't really exactly know about the key between meditation and Satanism that you're talking about. But I think I do 100% agree with what you're saying about the intention. But I think that even if you weren't in a really, really prayerful state and you were totally meditating, I think it's still very good for a few minutes every day just to be quiet. And just be aware and pay attention to what comes up. Back to what we were talking about at the very beginning with the psychological aspect of there being so much thought that we're not aware of before it gets to the thought that actually pops out there. I think a few minutes every day of just being aware of your thoughts would be good even if you weren't in an extremely prayerful state. But I don't know what you're talking about Satanism. I do know
that.
Well,
the thing
is
that, you know, Satan can't read our minds, but he can put thoughts in our mind. And so the thought process, when you're trying to analyze thoughts and you don't know where they came from and you think this is a good thought, but it's not, it goes on to what we were talking about.
You don't really
analyze
them, though. It's about awareness because you're already thinking them. So if you get quiet,
yeah, but
you get aware of what you're thinking. You're not waiting for some mystical message to come from Satan or anything. You're just getting aware of what it is you're thinking.
Yeah.
It's just like we talked about something here a few weeks back. There's a big difference. And locking in on the principles of God and locking in on what God said. And I can tell you firsthand, they're not the same thing. a lot of churches do a lot of things, and a lot of people in church, and I've been guilty of doing this, can tell you a lot of things that have to do with the principles of what God, you know, the thought process of what was happening in the Bible at different times and things. But it's not the same thing when you take the word of God exactly as it's said. And see, you can take books like I'm Okay, You're Okay, and a lot of things in there work on the principles of God. But it doesn't work on what God said. It's not the same. And so we get so tied up into going after books and things and songs to talk about the principles of God that we get away from the word of God. And so when you get thoughts that come into your mind, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, having our thoughts under submission. And I understand you got to be still to be able to do that. But you also, another scripture talks about, you know, to be aware. Our enemy is like a roaring lion, you know, seeking whom he may devour. We need to know our enemy's devices, that he comes against us, and our mind is one of the biggest things that he can use against us. It's not other
people.
But
a way to defend that is not to keep the chatter going so strong that you can't hear him. That's not like, that doesn't make any sense to me, that would be a reason not to meditate.
No, I'm not saying that 100%. Go ahead.
What?
Well, when we're talking about meditation, there's meditation that's just, like you said, just getting quiet and having quiet time, time out. You know, when you tell a child to go, they take time out and think about what
they're
doing. You know, that's meditation. There's all kinds of scriptures. Meditate on his word. Meditate upon his greatness. You know.
Her phone dropped
her
again.
Just appeared on Blog Talk Mom.
I think she needs to get a dumb phone like I've got.
Her smartphone done hung up. I think the devil didn't want us to hear what she had to say. If you can still hear us,
I know,
Blog
and
Talk,
sadly,
Mom,
she's going to finish the thought without knowing that it's hung up on her. It doesn't give her any clue that
able to hear
it's
us
died.
Enough
she'll
that
come.
She hung up and called
well, go
back
ahead and
in.
Finish what you were trying to explain to me about the dangers of it, because I'm missing something.
Well, I mean, it's one of those fine line things that's really hard to explain and put into words. There's nothing wrong with getting your thoughts in order and having that time where you just get still. And when I don't know about you, but when I'm getting still and just thinking about what's going through my mind, I'm trying to lock it down to what is practical, what is reasonable, what I need to do. You know, like I got all these thoughts, you know,
right.
Should I do this? Should I do that? Okay, I'm thinking about this here. I'm trying to weigh out the good against the bad of what I'm supposed to do here. You know, how does it work with me spiritually, and how does it work with me as a provider for my family, and how does it work for me to make me feel like a complete person? You know, all those things that I'm trying to rationalize all that while I'm being still, and these different thoughts are coming in, and some of them are adding a little bit food for thought in one direction or the other. But the danger to that is that if you don't know where the original thoughts came from, and we're not aware, you know, automatically that, you know, this is something the devil's put there to be a stumbling block in our path. It's not one of those things that immediately that we know. But if we put Jesus as the focal point first before we go into getting our minds still, I think we've put up barriers there of protection. It's kind of like the
prayer of Jacob. I do think that. But, okay.
Yeah, because he knows what we don't know. You know, where we're ignorant,
he's
got it all lined up. I think Blog Talk Mom is back with you. You there, Mom?
Right. The scripture in Psalms 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So it's like the Lord is saying, you know, watch your words, watch how you meditate. You know, you can get to meditating about how somebody's done you wrong, and before you know it, you know, you got a real case against them. So our meditation still has to be, you know, we have to make choices about how we
keep it
in line with the Word of God. And demonic forces, I've had to deal quite a bit in the last few years with people that have suicidal tendencies, and their meditation is their destruction, because I can't convince them that there are certain thoughts that they cannot allow themselves to meditate on. They've got to replace those thoughts with the right thoughts.
I've got it now. I see where y'all are come from. Yeah, I do get what you're saying.
You've
got to
help the boundaries. The only way you can do
that
is to
allow
God to put
the boundaries.
Power
to whatever you're thinking about. So if you're thinking
right,
a thought,
right.
Yeah, right. I agree with that.
And you're not 100%. Even realizing that you're doing it with a wrong thought sometimes. All of a sudden you turn the corner and bam, I'm in a gear in a place that I never intended this to go. And it's because I didn't know.
But I think
better.
Meditation's good from that point of view because that's bubbling down in there somewhere. And so then if you got quiet and you realize that you're thinking a thought that doesn't in any way coincide with what you truly believe mentally, you've got a chance to examine that.
But
at
like,
any rate,
again,
we
if
don't
you put God
that.
First, and you sit there
then
and you go and you're like,
covered.
Lord, you know, I know there's fixed to be some change in my life. I don't know if it means that, you know, my health issues are going to come up and I'm going to die this year. I don't know if this means I'm going to have a grand breakthrough in my business and I'm going to make more money than I've ever had. I don't know if it's going to be something that I don't even see yet that's going to come along. But, Lord, I know with you in control, it's going to be for my good. If I die tomorrow and it's your will, I know it's going to be for my good. When you get your thoughts lined up on that and you lock in.
That's good.
But then you say, but, Lord, if it's your will, I would really like to have $1 million. No, I'm playing. Then I'm saying, oh, Lord, you see I'm willing to work. If you help my labors be successful, if you make me be fruitful, if you make it to where my work and my labor makes my company I work for profitable, you know, work with me so I don't sin against you, you know, like the prayer of Jabez. You know, when you lock in on those things as the foundation of your thought process, when your meditations, and isn't it so neat, Mom, that scripture you read, they didn't say talk about your mind, they talked about your heart, the meditation of your heart.
Right.
There's something really key to this. You can't analyze this thing. You can't use psychology on God. You can't say, well, the Bible says here, if I honor my mother and father, my days are going to be long on earth. And doctor says I got cancer, so I'm going to send my mom $100,000, let her know how much I honor her, and Lord's going to heal me. I mean, you know, psychology with God, he's so far ahead of you, you've missed the boat, bud. You forget it. And there again, that goes back to what I'm talking about. Going to the principles of God instead of going to, there again, the heart of God and, you know, what he wants for his people. And it's a very fine line. It's one of those things that you could sort of say, well, I'm doing that. And I've been one of those people. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. No, I wasn't. No. My thought process was on the principles of God, I was doing everything right I was supposed to do. But I wasn't seeking his face diligently. Even though my heart's desire was to be in church, I wasn't going to, before God like the woman who had her child that was taken by the other woman and wanted her child back. And like, you know, and you know, Solomon was like, well, you know, we'll just cut this kid in two. You can each get a half. You know, I've not carried it before him to where, you know, he had to answer me because I wasn't going to quit asking. You know, like a kid, mama, 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 mama. I know I never did that when I was a kid. Mama, 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 mama. You're going to answer that kid. Trust me, you're going to answer sooner or later. You may be angry by the time you finally decide to answer, but you're going to answer that kid. And I haven't taken things to that point to like, God, please, please. You know, I'm lost here. I don't see the direction. I think I do. I think I know what I want. I think I know what I need. But, Lord, I need to know. Jesus, you
and
know,
that's
Lord, now,
when
can you help me?
You get quiet at that point. Instead of just keeping on filling it in with and just it, but you don't always get something miraculous from it that you can amazingly see. But I think it's always of benefit anyway. I've got a huge request. Listening to your voice and you're getting anointed, and as Mama was saying, she can pray at the drop of a hat, and I love praying with you guys. And it is the beginning of a new year, and I just wish that y'all would pray a blessing on all of us and everybody who's listening, and that we can all do what we need to do this year to be better and closer and evolve, whatever it is that's coming. I think you could pray
whatever
a blessing on
it. Is.
That's right.
There's a storm coming.
If there is, we might as well know about it. Be ready for it.
The weatherman said there's a storm approaching. It said at the end of time there's going to be evil waxing across the land, and men are going to seek darkness rather than light, and we can see all these things.
All right, I want
Mama
to do the blessing. You've lost your right to do the blessing with that.
I still got the mute control. You better watch yourself.
You'll give me some silence right now.
Meditate on this, Joy.
I'm tired of your still small voice, Claire.
Before I forget, I wanted to mention Carol, a friend of mine that when I was 12 years old and not the brightest cat in the jungle, but she was a dear friend of private school, and she listens to the program sometime when she can. And she said on Facebook, what saying grace do you remember? You know, when did you call it giving thanks, saying grace, or what, you know, as you were growing up? And when she was really small, her dad was in the war. And so her mother, they would say, they would bless the food, and they would always pray for his safe return. Just, you know, they added that to it. And I thought, you know, if we would, every time we get ready to eat, if we would just stop, thank the Lord for our food, and just pray for those families that are so torn apart by this war, you know, people that are have to, that's hard. That's very difficult to have a family and have to go over. And I think because it's easy to just not be aware of that, don't you think? And
I wouldn't have been of a lot of it if it hadn't been for Billy and the things that we learned when he was there. So
yeah,
I love soldiers.
And so we could commit to do that this year when we offer thanks, to just take a minute and say, Lord, those that are fighting for our country, for whatever they face, strengthen their families, and you know, just agree. That would be a time we'd be eating at all different times, but I definitely eat every day, and most time I'm by myself, but I still like to, you know.
So we have run over our time here, but I do want to end the show like Joy said there, and I do want to thank everyone that's called in and listened to the show, for all those of you listen to the archives, because the time doesn't work out for you, and especially for our military men and women who have made this show part of the success it is, with your emails letting us know that you listen to the show while you're out there. But I do think this would be a good time to just sort of do a Your Place prayer for everybody. So if everyone wouldn't mind, we're going to in the show with that tonight. Do you want to do a Blog Talk Mom, or you want me to?
Well,
I wish y'all could both do it.
Okay, Richie, you do it, then Rhonda, you do it, and then I'll do it.
No, I do mine silent. You know, I'm all about meditation.
Okay, all right. Wild Bill, would you want to be first?
Yeah, that's fine. Lord, we're so thankful for technology that allows us to go out and reach out to people all over this country and this world. Lord, we're thankful for this show and the people that listen to it, and for the inspiration we get from people with their emails and their thoughts of what they share with us. And, Lord, we're so thankful for the mercy that you have on us each and every day, for your love that you paid a price that was beyond our comprehension to understand, for we have a way of escape for something that we did wrong that had nothing to do with you, that you loved us so much that you paid that price, that horrible price, so that we could have a way of escape. But more than that, you made a way for us to have life, and a life more abundant. Lord, to know that this is sort of like a proving grounds here on this earth is a chance for us to be vessels that are made purified through you. It's a chance to be submissive to you and allow you to do a perfect work in each and every life, and to understand that you do not start a work that you do not plan to finish, and you never leave us where you found us. But, Lord, you always bring us up to a higher level than where we are, and you promise that it's always going to be for our good. Even though we don't see it sometimes, it's not right, our heart is not right with what you want to have in our life. You're always patient. When we fail a test, you let us take it again, because your mercy endures forever. Lord, for those people that listen to this show that are hurting, Lord, we know that you have that peace that goes beyond all understanding. And we pray and agree as one, Lord, that you're going to move for those people that have storm and distress in their life. For those that have physical affliction, Lord, we know that you took those stripes upon your back and said that by your stripes we are healed. And, Lord, you let us know where any two or three coming together on anything in your name, and we ask in faith that it shall be done. And, Lord, we pray and we believe that everyone that listens to this show, Lord, no matter how silly we get at times, and no matter how the topics vary from things that get away from your word and you, the Lord, that people will be stirred and they will find something in their life that will draw them closer to you, to understand that you don't just want to be the God, you want to be their God. You want to have a personal relationship with each and every person, Lord, in this world. And it's your desire that none should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. Lord, it's not your will for the Satan to come in and torment us and to bring things against us, to tear us down and tear us away from you, to steal the things that you wanted us to have. And Lord, through the power of your Spirit, you put up warning signs and you give us power to be more than overcomers. You allow us to be that fire of power, to go forth, Lord, to be more than conquerors, to be, Lord, more than what we could ever be within ourselves. You've given all these things to us to use. And, Lord, let us not be guilty of letting those things sit there that's on the table that we could take advantage of, Lord, and use for your glory. And, Lord, we pray right now that you bless each and every one of us this year. Lord, for everything we put our minds and our hands to do, that you bless it. But Lord, I pray most of all that you put us in our mindset to put you first in all things. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Blog Talk Mom.
Lord, for your presence that we feel so very close to us. Lord, I thank you for my family. I thank you, God, that you're the source of all life and all love. You are a God of love. You're a God of mercy and grace and gentleness. And I thank you for that, oh God. I thank you, Lord, that those that are listening in our life and for this fellowship with Joy, Starla, others in the family, for Wild Bill. Lord, I don't take that for granted. Personally, I thank you so much for this very moment. I thank you, God, for 72 years, Lord, that you watched over all the ignorance in my life and you've given me chance after chance as well, Bill, pray. Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your blessings on our country and on our leadership, on those that have fought and been struggled. Lord, those that have been injured and so many things we just so take for granted. I ask you, Lord, that everyone that would hear would realize that there's room at the cross for them. Lord, though millions have come to you, Lord, there's room for them. Lord, if a blanket of fear is across their life and they don't know which way to go, let them know, God. Visit with them right now, Lord. Let them know that you're right here, right there, wherever, Lord. You won't ever leave them. You will never forsake them. I thank you for that hope and for your promises. I praise you, God, that whoever's listening and in our own life, that we will bring glory to you. And, Lord, that your light will shine through us to those around us, that we will truly be the salt of this earth. For you, this is your plan in the kingdom of hallelujah. This is your plan, dear God. This is your purpose. And I praise you for it, Lord. I love you, Jesus. And we praise you now, the living, almighty creator. You are all things, Lord, all. You are the great I am. You are everything. You are on the right, on the left, in front, in back, over us, under us, and you're living inside. You're an all-encompassing God. I praise you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, we bind the powers of darkness, for you gave us the power to do that. That would come against our mind and the minds of those that are struggling. And we cast those spirits into the pit from which they came, and we loose the loving angels of God to minister in behalf of everyone. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name,
Jesus.
We pray this in agreement. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, we've ran over our time a little bit, and I thank you, Joy, for making that suggestion, because I do think that that is where we have our most power. And when we can't do anything else, we can always pray. And it's funny that sometimes we should start there, but that's where we end up. And but thank you so much for mentioning that. I pray all of you have a blessed night, a happy new year, and we'll be back with you next week. Also, next week, I know we have some people listen live on the computer. We meant to do it tonight to get Joy to explain to us how you can use your computer to actually call in. And she's done that with us a few times, and she can tell you some of the things to watch for and some of the issues that happen with that. And for those of you that listen to the show in the archives, We ask that you please continue to send us emails. We have a Facebook page at your place. We're looking for any guest speakers you think would be good to have on our show or any thoughts that you would like for us to discuss. Just please send those to us. And you can also go to the blog page and communicate with us through there. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a good night, and happy birthday, Blog Talk Mom.
Oh, yeah, yay. Thank you very much.
All right, we love you, and we appreciate you very much. Everyone have a good night.
Good night.